right. Good to see you all today. I am super excited. We're going to be starting a new series today, if I can find my computer under all this stuff, on the book of Genesis. How many of you guys know what Genesis means? What does the word Genesis mean? The beginning, right? So that's why they call the beginning of the Bible the Genesis of the Bible. So you could say Genesis is the Genesis of the Bible, which is about the Genesis of the universe, right? Just Genesis, right? Yeah, so it's about the beginning. It means the beginning is what it's about. And there's a lot of crazy stories in Genesis. Yes, please do open that one. So, yeah, because I was praying, you know, like, God, what do you want us to work on next after SOAR, after retreat and stuff, and what do you want us to focus on? And I was praying about it, and I just felt like the Lord said, hey, it's really important that we know the stories of Scripture, you know, the stories that happen in Scripture. I don't know if all you guys know all the stories, all the Bible stories, but you know, we have the basic ones, like God created the world, you know, and then we have like Noah's Ark, right? Which is a great bedtime story that helps you sleep good at night, right? Because like God destroys everybody by drowning them, right? That makes me go to sleep so cozy at night, right? Or the story about Daniel and the lion's den, right? Like people getting eaten alive by lions. That helps me go to sleep too, right? You know, a lot of us don't think about it, but the stories of the Bible are actually kind of creepy. You know, what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Getting burned alive. What? But all of these, the common thing is that God is great, and God is the one who gets the glory, because he's the one who delivers his people and all of these things, right? He delivered Noah from the flood. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us too, as we do. So I hope that as we go through these stories from the book of Genesis, because there's a lot of crazy stories in here, that we catch God's heart, catch what God is really like. And so, it's a couple of things we'll be covering in this series. I'm probably going to take till the end of the year to work on it, end of school year. So today and next week and maybe the week after, we're going to talk about creation, the very beginning, and why does this matter? Well, this matters because if God is the one who creates things, then he has the right to be God, right? Like, he has the right to say whatever he wants if he created it all. It's not like we are the ones with rights, because we didn't make it. He made it, right? So, basic understanding of who God is, we find from looking at the creation story. Maybe today we're going to talk about something people have called Imago Dei, or the image of God, right? This is how the story about how God said, I'm going to make man, and I'm going to make him in my image, so he looks like me, right? And why does that matter? It's huge. It explains so much of ethics and other things like that, why we as Christians have a basis for ethics. As the fall, we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, which was, do you guys know the story of the fall? So there was a guy walking down the street, and there was a little, like, twig, and he, like, tripped on it. No, right? What's the fall? The fall of man. And woman, right? This is Eve ate the fruit, and Adam was like, "Whoa, man, no!" Right? Okay, no. Adam and Eve and the fruit and the garden and the entry of sin into the world, right? Okay, and then of course after that we have the flood and how God always keeps his promises in the rainbow. After that we have Abraham, who is the father. The Bible calls our father the father of our faith. Really messed up dude. But God still loved him and used him. This guy, we'll get to it, but he like was scared that he was gonna die. So he went to this like different city, he went to Egypt, and he was like, oh man, my wife's so beautiful, everyone's gonna want to like steal her from me. And if they know I'm her husband, they'll kill me and just like marry my wife, So I'll just say she's my sister. Right? That's a cop out, right? And then so because he said he's a sister, the king's like, oh well, I'll marry her then. And then he just kind of lets it happen. Okay? This guy's a dweeb, right? Like, not a cool dude. But yet, God still used him And God redeemed his life, and he had to deal with many consequences. But as he walked with the Lord, God turned him into the father of our faith, you know? Someone who walked with God and knew God. Okay, and then the book ends out with Joseph, who, if you guys need someone to read about in the Bible who's, like, just an awesome dude to be a hero, Joseph is amazing. And if you look at his life, you see incredible faithfulness and incredible forgiveness as well. So hopefully we'll get to hit Joseph by the end of the year. But today, we're going to hit Genesis. Do you guys know the very first verse of Genesis? I just did Y Genesis. You guys all read this again on the left. You guys probably know this verse. 1, 2, 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, that's the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. Everyone close your eyes. All right, say it again. 1, 2, 3, go.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Wow, you guys are geniuses. Must be the IB program or something. Okay, yeah. Okay, and this verse, you know, we just kind of say it, like, whatever, but there's a lot of stuff that's in this verse, right? It like, comes head-to-head with a lot of different views. First off, atheism, right? It says there is no God. This verse says, in the beginning, God. There is a God, right? It comes head-to-head with naturalism. Like, this is probably what a lot of you guys run into in school. It basically says, the universe is all that it really is. There's nothing spiritual that exists, right? It says, in the beginning, God created. What does that mean? That nature and everything has a beginning. There was a time when it didn't exist, which means it's not eternal and it's not all that there is. There's something more. God, right? Pantheism. Does anyone know what pantheism is?
No.
I know.
What is pantheism?
Pantheism.
Yeah.
It's just like God is in everything.
Right. God is in this bush. God is in this mountain. God is in my toothbrush. God is in everything. No, but in that actually said God is in everything, okay? So, but what does this say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? So we should not worship your toothbrush. Or the sun, or the moon, or stars, or anything else that other people sometimes worship. Why? Because they are created by God, right? They're not God. Okay? And humanism. This basically says man is the center of everything, right? In the beginning, who created? Man created the universe. No. In the beginning, God created. So, in just this first verse, we see so much of what God is saying. But let's go ahead, and we're going to read the first chapter of Genesis together. And actually, the first verse of chapter 2. So I just want to read this, but we'll jump into it. So why don't we do this? We will read... let's just do popcorn style. You can read off of here. Go ahead and read 2 sentences, and then someone else will jump in. Okay? If you don't know what popcorn style is, that means when one person stops popping over here, someone else starts popping until they're done popping and someone else pops. Okay? I'll start. Pop. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep.
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light
from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the water." God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse.
And it was so, and God called the expanse heaven.
And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear."
And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth." And it was so.
(Clears throat)
The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind.
And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, and the earth. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day.
I'm sorry.
You keep going, you're
right.
Okay. To separate the day from the night, and let them be four signs and four seasons.
And for days and for years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness.
And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
And God said, let waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens.
So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind.
And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so.
And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have domination over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
God created man in his own image, the image of God, he created them. And male and female, he created them. And God blessed them.
And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
And God said, behold, I have given you every kind of young seed that is on the face of all earth, and every tree with seed in its spring. You shall have them food.
And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. That was so.
And God said, everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all the work. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
Right. Amen.
So,
hey, hey, you're a baby. So, as we read this, I don't know what you think. I don't know what your first thoughts are. What are you guys' first thoughts as you read this together? Can we please finish the reading so I can hear Kenny's melodic voice again?
What do you think? Start reading?
No. What do you think when you read this? What do you think?
Nothing.
You don't think anything? Okay. Yeah?
I think about how there was actually a beginning to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, So, next week... Okay, wait. So, the first thing I think about when I sat down and read this was like, oh, how does this mesh with science? I don't know if you guys felt that, right? But I'm like, oh wait, what about evolution? What about like all this stuff? And I've heard all these like theories about how Christianity and science mesh, and especially on origins, all this stuff. If you guys want to know, if you have questions about that, awesome, come back next week. Okay? Next week I'm going to be talking about all of that. Does this mesh with like evolution? Like, wait, okay, my science teacher said the Earth is 30 billion years old. Well, Occam, some Christian say it's only 6,000, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to talk about all that next week, okay? So save those things till next week. But outside of thinking of that, what else do you think of? Let's just say, like, let's say you just close your eyes and I just, we'll read this all to you again. What picture do you get in your mind? Like, what kind of, yeah. What do you think?
I saw him just, like, I realized that, like, the Big Bang, it might have just been God saying, like, let there be light, and
boom. Yeah, right? I don't know.
I also noticed,
I
also noticed that he said, let us make man in our image.
Cool.
And it said that God, but that means that there's more. That there's, like, God, there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's really
He's
interesting,
talking
right?
to someone.
Yeah. That's really interesting, right? He said, let us make man. Who's us?
And he created...
Oh, God is 3-in-1.
And he created light and dark before he created the sun and the moon and the stars.
Yeah, how does that work?
Probably him. He's the light.
Actually, if you look at the end of the Bible, right? The very beginning, he creates light, and then there's no sun yet. And you're like, how does that work? If you look at the very end of the Bible, it says, in heaven, there is no sun. You're like, but it's full of light. Yeah, because it says, God... light is the light of the city. So it's really interesting to think about. In the beginning and at the end, there's no sun because God himself is the light. Okay, but when I read this story, I think at first I kind of like get this sense like, how do you imagine nothing? Right? Like, how do you, all right, everybody here, just for a split second, I want you to think of nothing. Got it? Good, right? Like, how do you think of nothing? We can't conceptualize nothing. Can you guys conceptualize a time when there was no time, right? Like the beginning of time, what before the beginning of time, right? You know, like 1 year before the beginning of time. Wait, that doesn't work, right? Because how could you have a year before time starts, right? Okay, let's see. How does that work? Or okay, like let's say what was in the space that the Earth occupied before space existed. Wait, how does that work? If matter doesn't exist, if like if matter doesn't exist, you can't have a vacuum, because a vacuum means there's no matter in it, right? But matter has to exist for vacuum. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we? It's hard to wrap your brain around this, and to think that like from that existence, God in His power just all He did was spoke, and it all came to be. One thing that I really hope you take away from this story, and maybe as this week, I encourage you, go back and read this again. Come away with the power of God. Just have your mind blown by how powerful and awesome and incredible God is. God is not, I mean, sometimes we think about, we're like, you know, there's a song I used to sing when I was a kid. It's a Hillsong song from back when Hillsong songs were like for little kids. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, Hillsong United, did you guys know that was like a youth group band? Yeah. So now it's not because they're all old, like me. But when I was in high school, Hillsong United, all the people in the band were also in high school. And so that was like the high school band. And so they sang songs like this. Jesus, you are my best friend. You will always be. Nothing will ever change that. Right? Okay, like, you know, any of you guys know that song? Anyone? Yes, okay. Yes, few people in the house, okay. And I think, you know, there's this aspect where Jesus says, hey, I didn't just call you slaves, I called you friend, and that's true. But also, if we get so sucked into that, we can forget that God is the mighty one, right? Like, you see this view of space? Every time I see these views of space, like these sunrises from space, I'm just like, oh, wow, right? Like, God, this is like zoomed in times a million for the Lord, right? That's how big and incredible and powerful He is. This is like, oh yeah, if I take a microscope and look at one tiny part of this universe I spoke into existence, oh, I get that view, right? Like, that's how expansive and huge and incredible He is. So we need, as we read this and study this, I hope that we'll come away with this feeling of awe of the Lord, because He really is awesome. Okay, so there's a few things I want to note from this reading that we had today. I think they're just important. I'm not going to go into everything. There's a lot of things I could preach on, but there's three main things that I want you to not forget about this passage, and they're this. Number one is God created the universe out of nothing. The technical term for this is, I forgot, no, life, Help me out.
Ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo. Okay? Latin. How many of you guys have studied Latin? How many of you guys know what Latin is? Okay, good. It's not pig Latin, in case you're so, ex nihilo. Ex in Latin means out of, right? Coming out of. Nihilo means nothing, nada, right? The technical term for nihilo is nada, zero, nothing. So this is, God created everything out of nothing. That's the first thing. Second, all that God created, what did you guys see throughout the story? It was morning, on evening, on the first day, and God saw all that he was created, and he said, it's good. He saw that it was good. Okay? And third is that man is made in God's image. So we're going to hit each of these up. First, let's go to God created everything out of nothing. And you guys got your Bibles? Can someone find Genesis 1:1? Somebody get that for me? Wait, we all know that one. We all said that one. How about John 1:3?
John.
Hugh's got John 1:3. Colossians 1:16. Somebody? Colossians 1:16? Devin, you got Colossians 1:16. Revelations 4:11. Somebody? Daniel? And Hebrews 11:3? You got it, Andrew. Hebrews 11:3. All right, Genesis 1:1, we can say it together.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay, so he made everything. John 1:3? Who's got that?
Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing is made that has been made.
Okay. Do you say it again?
Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
So what has been made? What exists that he didn't make?
Nothing.
God made everything. Everything that exists, God has made. Right? Which means he didn't make it out of anything because that meant it would already exist. Right? So he made everything out of nothing. Okay, next. Colossians 1:16, you got it there?
Just a minute.
Okay.
I'm trying to enter into this.
Okay, we'll come back to you then. Revelations 4:11.
You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.
Okay. Which things did God create? All things. You've created all things, and they exist for your, what is it, for Dalton?
Huh?
You created all things,
you
and
you created
they,
all things because you created what you pleased.
Because you created what you pleased. Good. All right, Hebrews 11:3.
By faith, we understand.
We'll come back. Just a second.
The universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of other things that are visible.
Okay, good. So, by faith, we understand what? Say it again.
By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God.
The universe was created by the word of God. What? The last part?
So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible.
Right. So that what is seen was created, was not created out of visible things. In other words, what? Out of nothing. Ex nihilo. Right? Just call me Mr. Latin, right? No. Okay. All right. Do you have Colossians 1:16?
Yeah. For it was him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth. Things were things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him.
Good. Good. So which things did God create? All things. Everything. Everything was created by God, out of nothing. So what's the big deal? Why does that matter? Oh, whoop-de-doo, God made the world out of nothing. Whoop-de-doo, if he made it out of cotton candy, who cares? Like, why does it matter that he made it out of nothing? Well, here's why it matters. Number one, if God created the entire world out of nothing, that means that only he is eternal. You guys got this? Right? Because if he made it out of something else, then that something else is also eternal. Does that make sense? But if God made, I know, come with me. I know, this is like your brain's hurting, okay? But just come with me, okay? If God made the world out of anything else, then whatever he made it out would have been eternal as well. but he made it out of nothing. So who is the only person or only thing that is eternal? God. God alone is eternal. There is no one else like him. So can someone find Psalms 90 verse 2? Where's my Bible? Psalms 90 verse 2. Somebody got that?
Psalms
92. Oh, look what I found. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You could say from infinity to infinity, you are God. So God is eternal. Yeah?
I said, what's the book?
Psalms 90, verses 2.
Psalms 90, verses 2.
Yep.
Thank you.
But we just read it, so. Okay. Right, so God alone is eternal, which means God alone is God. Right? There is no one else. And sometimes I think, how many of you guys have ever heard people talk about the devil, right? Like he's fighting with God, and it's true, and there's this battle over the world. But one thing we must always understand, the devil is not eternal, right? The devil is not eternal. He was created, right? So he is under the authority of God. He will not be God. It's not like we're in this big battle that like, oh, we'll see if evil or good wins. Oh, don't know. God is king. He's eternal, and he is the one with authority, right? The devil is a created being, right? And so he is not equal with the Lord. Some religions teach this, but it's not true. Here's another thing as well. How many of you guys have heard people say, all religions are basically the same? You guys have heard that, right? All religions are basically the same. And there's some religions like Hinduism. Well, there's some religions like Christianity and like Judaism that says there's one God, right? And then there's some religions like Hinduism that say there are like 30 billion gods, right? And then there are some religions like folk religions in certain areas that are like, you know, rocks and trees are a god, or God is in them, right? But the truth is that we see from Genesis is that there's only one God, and he is greater than all other gods. Because he alone is eternal. So everything comes from him. Does that make sense? Okay, come with me. Like, if he created everything, then he rules over. Okay? Part of what it means to be God is that you rule, right? You guys ever play those games on your phone where they're like, be God for a day, and then you can like, or no, you never seen them? Okay, there's like these computer games and stuff where it's like, you can be God. I never play them because I didn't want to get struck by lightning for the real God. But, you know, and in them, and then you can, like, little pick up people and throw them around, or you can, like, plant trees wherever you want, or, like, I don't know what you can do whatever, you know, you can set fire, or, you know, whatever. Like, why? Because you have authority over that. Well, God has authority over everything. Why? Because he is eternal. He created all things, and all things exist for him. Does that make sense? So that's why it's such a big deal that God created everything out of nothing. All right, number two, God alone needs no one or nothing else. Right? If you're created, then you need a creator. God alone has no creator. No one created God. He is the creator of everything else. So this is why we have to understand that he made everything out of nothing, because he alone is the one who has no need for anyone else. He alone is above everything. Does that make sense? Okay. Everything else needs a cause, something to find its origin in, but God alone stands eternal and is rightfully divine, rightfully God. Everything else that lays claim, anything or anyone else who lays a claim to being divine, they are trying to steal God's rightful position because they were created by him. Does that make sense? They were created by him. So when they seek to take his position, they are trying to take a position that is not theirs. Does that make sense? God alone has the place of authority. And the last one is this, is that he alone has the right to rule, as I've said. I'll flip there. Romans 9, you guys can come with me if you want. Romans chapter 9. This is verses 20 through 21. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. And this is God. So here's Romans 9, verse 20. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? Can you imagine if, like, I go to the potter's thing and I'm, like, making a cup out of clay, right? Yeah, it's an awesome mug, you know? And I'm about to put it in the kiln to, like, heat it really hot so it turns into a mug out of dirt or clay. And he's like, hey, why'd you make me with a handle? I wanted two handles. Blah, 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 blah. All right? Right, that would be, first off, very weird, and I would have nightmares for a week about it. But nonetheless, if for some reason the cop could talk to me, it's not his place to talk to me. I'm the creator. I can make it whatever I want. I have the right to do that as the creator. I think sometimes we go to God and say, God, why do you do things this way? How dare you, Lord? You and we don't say this, but in our heart, if you say, how dare you, to the Lord, what does that mean? You owe me something. You owe me this. You owe me that, right? God owes you zip, nada, right? Why? Because he created everything. He is your creator. Now, God is loving and God is good, and so he blesses us when we seek out to know truth about him and we seek after him. Does that make sense? But he's not he's not compelled. He doesn't have to tell us. He does because he loves us, not because we deserve it. Does that make sense? Why? Because he's the creator. All right, let's go to the next one. Number two to remember. What God was created was good. So in Genesis 1, verse 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, 31, it says, and God saw all that he created, and he saw that it was good. And then at the very end, right after he creates man, he says, God saw everything he had made, and he said it was very good. Very good. He said it was very good. So what God created was good. Now, your question would be, well, how come there's so much messed up stuff in the world? That's because of sin. And we're going to get there in a couple weeks when we talk about Adam and Eve. So hang on to that question. That's why there's bad stuff in the world. But at its very core, what God created is good. God created good things. And so why does this matter? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Okay. Number one. The physical world is good. So, how many of you guys have ever felt like this? When I read my Bible or think about spiritual things, good. When I play video games, bad. Right? When I go to church, good. When I eat a Snicker bar, bad. Right? Okay? When I evangelize to my friend and tell them about the gospel, good. When I talk to my friend about sports, bad, okay? This kind of separation that we have is actually not from Christianity, although many people in Christianity have kind of embraced it. It actually comes more from a philosopher named Plato, who some of you guys have studied. Plato actually said that spiritual is good, physical is bad, right? And you saw this in the church a lot, maybe you guys even heard about it, where monks would actually, like, go to sleep on beds made out of nails. And then they would, like, take these whips and they'd whip themselves. And then they'd eat only, like, bread and water, and they'd, like, really be harsh to their own bodies. And why would they do that? Because they thought their body was bad, and that as they were, like, mean to their body, that their spirit would be, which is the good part of them, would, like, come out more. Does that make sense? And maybe you felt the same way, maybe not to that extreme, but you said, oh, I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't, like, enjoy food, or I shouldn't whatever, because I want to focus on the spiritual side of things. Well, this is the most important thing we need to realize. What God created was good. He gave it to us for us to be thankful for. In 1 Timothy, so Timothy was this dude, he was like a pastor, and he had a mentor named Paul. And Paul wrote to him and said, hey, you know, there's a bunch of people who say, oh, you shouldn't get married, you shouldn't enjoy food, you shouldn't do this because, you know, that's not spiritual to do those things. You should instead be, like, mean to the physical things and then embrace the spiritual things, though. But Paul was telling him, this is wrong. No, in fact, let's look at 1 Timothy 6:17. You guys want to flip there? 1 Timothy, which is near the end of the Bible. 6, verse 17. It says this. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. See, if you look at what God's saying, or here earlier, actually, I'll read the earlier passage too, in chapter 4. It's this 4:1-4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thankfulness, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So what does that say about things like food, things like, say, video games, things like all these other things? That they're good and should be received with, as long as they're received with thankfulness. Now the problem is, and the Bible talks about this in other parts, is when these things become idols, right? And they start inching their way into the places in our life that God himself is supposed to occupy. But when these things are below and they serve the Lord and they cause thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord, then they're good things. Right? Because what God created was good. Okay, number two is this. God doesn't make junk. Can someone read Psalms 139 verse 14? Psalms 139. Got there. If you beat me to it, you can read it.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well.
Good. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What's the last part? Read the last part again.
Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well.
Wonderful are your works. So God, what God does is wonderful. It's good. Does that make sense? And God doesn't make junk. I know some of you guys have probably thought at times there's parts of yourself that you don't like. You know? Like, I don't like the fact that I grew up, I was always made fun of for being short. And in China, I never get made fun of that. I don't know why. But back in America, I always got made fun of for being short. People were like, ah, they'd tell a joke and they'd be like, oh, you didn't laugh. I guess that was over your head. Like, right, okay, and I'm like, yes, I haven't heard that one before. Right? People always made fun of me for that. I always kind of, well, I don't know. I thought I wanted to be taller. I mean, for many years, I buzzed my hair, and my wife made me stop because my ears stick out so much, right? Like now you guys are going to look at my ears the rest of the time, right? And you're like, my ears, they stick out, right? And then maybe you feel the same way. You're like, oh, man, my nose is too big. Oh, my eyes are so whatever. Oh, my hair is like, what? I don't know. But this is what you need to realize. God made you. And when he made you, when God made you, he saw you. And he said, this is very good. You need to get that. Maybe some of you don't believe me, but you need to understand that, because this is true. When God saw you when you were created, and when God sees you now, he looks and says, oh, I did good on this one. This is very good. So when the world comes to you and tells you, oh, you know, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too whatever, you're too ugly, you need to realize that God created you, and he created something good when he created you. And you, right? You guys have got to catch that. It'll save you so much heartache in this world. The world is, if the world could catch this, so much of, like, the economy would just crash, right? Right? Because people prey on this. So many commercials you'll watch, advertisements, they're all trying to get you to doubt this truth. They're all trying to say to you, no, you're not good. That's why you need our product to make you good, right? But God looks at the way he created you and he says, oh, this is very good. This is very good. God doesn't make junk. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are God's works. Who? What is God's works? You. Wonderful. That my soul knows very well. Okay, and last is this on what God's created is good. God created us to be stewards of this earth. You can read in Genesis 1:28, he says, I put man, you are to rule over and subdue the earth, right? And then if you see in the next chapter, in chapter 2:15, it says that God created a Garden of Eden. He put man into it and then put man there to tend it and to care for it and to keep it. So God has placed us on this earth to rule over this earth. God has chosen humans to be the rulers of this earth. But he calls us to be good stewards of it and to care for it well, right? Why? Because it's good, right? Nature is not something, this was actually something earlier, like maybe during the Enlightenment and other times, where humans thought, oh, nature is there, and it's kind of bad, and it's out to get us, right? So we need to control it, right? And we need to act like dominion over it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it's good. And God calls us to be good stewards of it and to use it in a way that reflects the fact that it's good. Okay, last one. Man was made in God's image. Can someone read Genesis 1:27 for me? Someone got that? Okay, Devin, you already got one. How about somebody else? Devin, let someone else get it. Genesis 1:27. Someone else can get that one?
I do.
Mark will get it.
No, because I got it.
Yeah, let Mark get it. You read the last one, man. Okay, Genesis 5 verses 1. Can someone get that?
I'll get it.
Okay, Josh, Genesis 5, 1 and 2. All right, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, it says, so God created human beings in the image of God. He created them, male and female.
Good. You notice that when the Lord says that? He's not like, yep, I made people in my own image. He seems to want to make sure that you get it, right? What does the verse say again? Read it again. Oh, okay, I got it right here, I got it. He says, so God created man in his own image. You get that? In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, right? He's like, make sure you get this. This is important. I'm going to repeat myself, right? God created man in his own image. In his own image, he created it, right? Like, he wants to make sure we get it. Why is that so key? We'll get to that in a moment. Right, Genesis 5, verse 1. You got that, Josh?
Yeah,
go ahead. Verse 1 and 2.
This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created.
Good. So he created them in the likeness of God. So just a short note. Does anyone know what the name Adam means? Huh? Good. Means man. In Hebrew, Adam means man, right? Can you imagine naming your kid man?
Hey, man.
Every morning I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Bro, man. Adam actually means man. So when God created Adam, he named him man and said, you are now going to be mankind. Right? So of course we could say maybe Adamkind. All right, so why does this matter? What's the big deal? This is the first one. Image conveys ownership. So let's say, how many of you guys were alive, or not alive, all of you guys were alive. How many of you guys remember when the United States invaded Iraq? You guys remember? Okay, some of you guys do. And there's this really famous video that came out of that moment involving a big statue. Did anybody see this video? No?
No?
You've heard of it? Okay. There's this really famous statue in the middle of Baghdad, Iraq, where, like, Saddam Hussein is standing like this. You know that time, all right? How many of you have seen this? And he's got his arm like this, right? And, like, or like this, yeah. And the U.S., no, it wasn't the U.S. Marines, or I don't remember who it was. I think it was the U.S. Marines and some Iraqis. They attached a big rope to, like, the hand or whatever, and they chopped away at the bottom, and they just, like, pulled it down. Right, okay? what would have happened if, like, four dudes were, like, you know, maybe a year before when Saddam Hussein was the ruler, were like, hey, let's go to Baghdad. I got this great idea. We're going to, like, chop down that statue of Saddam Hussein. What would have happened? Do you guys know anything about Saddam Hussein? What would have happened? The statue wouldn't have been chopped down. They would have been chopped down, right? Many, many times. And then they would have been bombed afterwards, right? Okay, like, and then gassed, and then, like, chopped in little pieces and spread over the four continents, right? Like, wait, seven continents. Anyway, okay, right? Like, why? It's just a statue, right? It's just a statue. Why? Because the image is representative of something greater, right? And when that image came down, what did that symbolize for Iraq? Saddam is no longer the king here. You see that as that image came up, Saddam is no longer the king, right? As long as it was standing, it symbolized that he was the king, the ruler there. When you have a flag over a place, right? Like when you go, I'm an American, so whenever I walk down Hansanlu or Ulumutilu near like a French concession, walk down and there's the American consulate, there's an American flag waving. And because I'm an American, whenever I walk by there, I just, oh, say, can you? Right? Because that's what we're there, that's what I know, right? All the other Americans are like, oh, Kenny, please. No, right? Okay.
But
when we see that flag, what does that represent? Hey, this is American soil here, right? Like, this is American, like, domain, right? This is where America has influence, okay? It conveys ownership because an image, it's just an image. It's not like the flag is, like, you know, has machine guns attached to it or something, right? Right? It's not like that statue was there and, like, as long as the statue was up, Saddam was in power. Oh, and then this went down, now he's not, right? Like, but it's a symbol. It's a very powerful symbol. Does that make sense? Right? Because it's an image. Get this. We are the image bearers of God in this universe. So every time anything in this universe sees us, what do they see? God. This universe belongs to God. Does that make sense? Just like a flag over a place says this belongs to a certain country, or a statue in a place like Baghdad says this place belongs to Saddam Hussein. We walk this earth, and every place we go, like demons and angels and the devil and creation and everything sees us and says, this universe belongs to God. Now think about what that role means. Oh my singing gosh, right? Like, I get to bear God's image. So that everywhere I go, I declare, hey, he is king, right? And it's not even like whether or not I say anything. It doesn't matter, even if all these people in the world that don't serve God, they still, because they're created in the image of God, they still declare the glory of God. They still declare that he is king, right? That's what's so amazing, because we are made in the image of God. Second is this. All human rights come from this one fact, that we are made in the image of God. Now, if I go home today, right, and I punch someone in the face on the way home because they make me mad because I don't like the color of their shirt, right, I get thrown in prison. If I go home and there's a fruit fly, and I mutilate its body into my couch, okay? Do I go to prison? No. Why?
You should.
I should. Who said I should? Hey, wait, it's a fruit fly, right? It's a fruit fly. Now, okay, it doesn't matter even if it's other animals, right? Like, you know, God's called us to be good stewards, so if you do this to a dog or something like that, yeah, there's punishment, but it's not the same as if you did it to another human, right? It's completely different. Why? Because when I shoot a dog, which I should not do, I am killing something good that God made, right? But when I shoot a person, I am shooting an image of God, right? Let's imagine You guys, somebody thought it would be really funny to print up pictures of my face, right? And you guys are having a party here, and you're just like hanging out, and you're like, oh, look at these funny pictures of Kenny. And you put them on the wall, and you start throwing darts at my nose, right? Like, oh, I got his eyeball, right? Okay? Then I come in. Suddenly it gets very quiet, right? You know, like, and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? Why? Because you're, even though I don't feel the pain or anything like that, right? You still are making a very clear statement, right? And it didn't matter if you go, oh, I didn't know, I didn't mean it like that, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Right? The same way, anytime we violate the rights of another human being, we are violating the image of God. This should cause us fear. This is why you should never murder somebody. Not just because you might go to jail. Because God himself, you are killing an image of God. Right? I think murderers, the people they should be scared of most is not police officers. The people they should be scared of most is God. Right? Because they are mutilating, they are destroying, they are marring the image of God. So this is why people should have the right to life, to not be killed, right? This is why people should have the freedom to make decisions for their life, right? This is why people should be able to work for what they need, right? Because human rights come from the fact that we are made in the image of God. Okay. All right. We are created to show God, right? Not only are we his images, but like God uses us for his glory to show the creation that what God is like. And it's interesting. I find this really interesting. What was the first temptation of man? We're going to get to this. But what did the serpent say to Eve? Do you guys remember? He's like, oh, eat this fruit. It's so good. And if you eat it, what will happen? You will be like God, discerning between good and evil. You know what was such the biggest lie? They were already like God. They were already created in the image of God, right? Why did they want the fruit? They wanted to be God. There's a big difference between being God and being in the image of God or being like God. God created us to be like him, to give him glory, not to be him and try to receive glory. Does that make sense? So this was the temptation. And the irony of it is this. As man sought to eat this fruit, oh, you'll be like God. In eating that fruit, the image of God in man was marred. Sin entered the world. And now, that image that's in us is still there, it's still strong, but it's dirty. It's messed up because of sin. And this is the entire story of God, right here. This is the whole story of God. You can read through the whole Bible. This is what God is doing on this earth. God in his love says, I'm going to create man, and they're going to bear my image. And then, and part of what, there's many ways that we bear God's image, but one of them is that we have a free will, right? So God had to make us with a free will. And with that free will, we chose to turn away from the Lord, to turn away from God, and his image got marred in us. But then God says this, no, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to send my son Jesus to heal them so that the brokenness can be healed. The dirt can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, everyone who gives their life to him, here's what's happening. When you give your life to Jesus, the image of God starts to be restored in you. We are headed back to Eden before the fall, right? We're there and all of us fell, but because of the blood of Jesus, and because of that, the Holy Spirit now living inside of us, day by day, he changes us so that we become more and more like what God is, right? So when people see us and see our lives, they're like, oh, okay, that's a follower of Jesus. That's what God's like, right? Because I see how they act, how they think, what they do, right? And one day, Jesus is going to come back, and you know, we're not perfect, but we're on our way, right? That's what the Holy Spirit is doing us. And then someday, Jesus is going to come back, and this image of God is going to be perfected again. and it's going to be just like it was in the beginning, where we are perfect images, reflectors of God's pure glory. Right?
Yes!
Can't wait for that. It's going to be epic. So this is the story of God, and this is why it's so huge that we recognize what it means to be made in His image. All right. Come on, go back.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to pray, and I know we're a little bit late, but I want to give you 5 minutes in small groups. I want you guys to, in small groups, what I want you guys to do is talk about each of these 3 points, and maybe one thing, I want you guys each to think of one thing for at least one of these points that makes them important, right? Why is it important? Why is it important that we're made in God's image? Why is it important that what God created is good? Or why is it important that everything God created everything out of nothing? Okay. Either it can be something I said that like hit you, or it can be something else that you've thought of through here or God should do. Let me pray, and then we'll go on as well. God, we just lift you up. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the creator. You are the mighty one. There is nobody like you. And God, we just ask that as we study Genesis and we talk about these things and think about these things, God, even if they're not like the things we have to work on, God, like maybe if some of these issues aren't really like milk anymore, they're more like meat, things we have to chew on and really work through to understand. God, we just ask that you would teach it to us and show it to us, God. But we don't want to shy back from going for everything that you have for us. And God, I just ask that you would speak to your people here. I pray that they would know that you alone are God, as the creator, making everything out of nothing. That they would know that you have created good things. You don't make junk, and that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that you, when you created them, you said, hey, this is very good. And God, we pray that each of them would understand what it means to be made in your image, to bear your image. God, we just ask that you would be here and continue to speak in Jesus' name. All right, so I want you to get in groups of 3 to 4, no bigger than 5, okay? And at least one thing about why one of these things is important. So, great. And then I'll give you 5 minutes to hold up. So go ahead and split up. All right. You.
We're teaching you to, you know, Mark, what are you doing?
I mean,
Is there water in this house? Yeah.
Jesus.